Well, as we've reported previously, other efforts have sought to address these issues facing Wilmington schools. Where is the Reading Consortium picking up the baton?
Let's go back to 2014 when former Governor Jack Markell established the Wilmington Education Advisory Committee, which was known as WEAC. And a year later, that group morphed into the Wilmington Education Improvement Commission, or WEIC. Now we've got the Reading Consortium on Educational Equity, which at least for now is too new to have an easily pronounced acronym. Now, WEAC made some strong recommendations, most notably that the Christina and Colonial school districts be removed from that muddy jumble of school governance entities that share responsibility for educating children who live in Wilmington. But WEAC didn't have time to create a plan to get that done, so planning for changing district boundaries fell into WEAC's lap. Now, WEAC came up with a plan to transfer responsibility for Christina's schools and students in the city over to the Red Clay District. Now, that plan won a difficult approval from the State Board of Education, but it died when the General Assembly couldn't find the money to move it forward. Now, WEAC also came up with a proposal to allocate more funds to schools throughout the state that have high populations of low-income students, English learners, and other at-risk children. The state didn't come up with all the money that WEAC recommended, but it started a similar program on a smaller scale this year. So what we're looking at now is this. After 4 years of big ideas and unfulfilled expectations, it's up to the Reading Consortium to rebuild the momentum. This weekend might really be a good time to use a football analogy, if I might. WEAC and WEIC have struggled, and they've made a couple of 3 and 4 yard gains, and now it's pretty much up to the Reading team to try to throw a touchdown pass.
Your story mentions that the new group's co-chair, State Senator Tizzy Lockman, says this group will look forward more so than look back. What does she mean by that?
Tizzy Lockman knows Delaware's history very well, and she was in high school here in the years when court-ordered desegregation was ending and programs like Choice and Charter Schools started what has become a resegregation of city and suburban schools in northern Newcastle County. Her point, and she's made it in several conversations with me in the past few years, is that while we cannot ignore this community's past, the focus must be on moving ahead. We've got to take what we have now, a collection of underperforming schools managed by a dozen different leadership teams, and turn them into some sort of a cohesive system that delivers high-quality education in an enriched environment for all of the students who attend schools in Wilmington.
Having said that, did the previous efforts that you talked about earlier lay the kind of foundation that this group can readily build upon?
In a sense, yes. I mean, from what I've described already here, you've seen that there's no shortage of bold ideas and that there is a core of educational and community leaders who do desire to press forward. But WEAC and WEIC did not achieve their big goals because they could not overcome objections in Dover, where the big decisions on state policies and state funding are made, in part because the lawmakers who control the state spending could not or would not find the money needed to bring these proposals to life.
Well, as you mentioned earlier, one issue that's really been kind of at the forefront in discussions by these previous groups is who will run city schools. Who's going to be in charge of governing these schools? As most people well know, and you mentioned, it's split among multiple districts. Previous groups sought to change that calculus, as you mentioned, looking to maybe move Christina and perhaps Colonial out of that calculation. Talk a little bit more about what's been on the table and what the Reading Consortium may look at, as Tizzy Lockwood said, moving forward.
Okay. Well, you know, right now, we've got 12 different governance bodies with a role in education in Wilmington. There are 4 kindergarten through 12th grade school districts. There's a countywide vocational technical district, and there are individual boards for 7 different charter schools. And that doesn't even count the 5 charter schools that are in the nearby suburbs that draw children from Wilmington. Now, this is not an unfriendly environment, but the fact is each entity has a primary responsibility for tending to its own turf, and they partner with each other to some extent, but really only when they have to or when they see some mutual benefit to it. Now, when we talk about redistricting, the most common refrain, and we've heard this for years, is that the Christina District, which is now split into a city section and a suburban section out in the Newark area, that Christina ought to be removed from this Wilmington calculus altogether. In the most recent scenario proposed 3 years ago by WEAC, Red Clay would have taken over those Christina schools in the city. Now, it didn't happen then, but it could be back on the table now. So is the question of whether it makes sense for the Colonial School District, which is centered in Newcastle, to be responsible for a very small group of students living in a sliver of the city's east side. And Colonial doesn't even have a school within Wilmington city limits. Nonetheless, Colonial hasn't wanted to give up serving that small number of children, so nothing's happened there. Now, it seems to me that redistricting, if it occurs, could move in either of two directions. One would be to split the city between the Brandywine and Red Clay districts, with Red Clay taking over Christina's territory and Brandywine possibly picking up some of the area that is now in Red Clay. The other possibility, which is advanced by Representative Nnamdi Chukwuka, who sponsored the bill that sets the guidelines for the consortium to study redistricting, would be to return to the single district that existed in between 1978 and 1981. Now, that single district was hated then, but much of the resentment was based on the fact that it was ordered by a federal judge. Now, Chukwuka believes that a single district plan that a commission would develop just might have a chance. Now, keep in mind, now we're talking here about a single district in a managerial sense. It's not one that would result in busing large numbers of students from the city to the suburbs and back and forth in that matter. One other thing here, charter schools. We've talked before about the problems with the state's oversight of charter schools. If there's a tighter organization of the city's traditional public schools that comes about through the consortium, maybe one district, maybe two, whatever, the case might be made for those districts to take responsibility for authorizing and overseeing the charter schools in the city. Now, Chukwuka points out that Red Clay already has experience and successful experience as a charter authorizer. He says that moving oversight from Dover to Wilmington might lead to better monitoring and fewer management problems with the charters, and it might also foster greater collaboration between charters and traditional schools.
And just one point of clarification, when we talk about a one-district solution, we're not talking about a single city district and other districts in the suburbs. You're talking about a one countywide district.
Yes, we're talking about a countywide district. Nnamdi Chukwuka points out that countywide districts are common in many other states. All you have to do is look across the border to Maryland, for example.
And does what is changing in the city this year, the consolidation of the Christina School District's city schools, play it all into what the Reading Consortium will do or will consider?
Yes, it most definitely does. The consortium's responsibilities include monitoring the educational progress of students in Wilmington. So its members will be looking at closely at whether the new grades 1-8 configurations at the Bancroft and Byard schools in Wilmington are making a difference. More broadly, the consortium is charged with monitoring the educational progress and outcomes for all low-income English learners and at-risk students in Newcastle County, in northern Newcastle County. So the policies and programs that are operating and functioning in other districts will be examined as well. So, if the changes that are being done this year in Christina City Schools bring about favorable results, the consortium would be in a position to advocate for replicating these programs in other parts of Newcastle County and perhaps statewide. And if the changes aren't working, the hope is that this consortium would have enough heft to identify the problems and prevent the mistakes from being repeated.
Is there anything else this group is expected to delve into?
Yeah, one item that's listed specifically in the legislation that's closely tied to the possible redistricting is this: evaluating the need for additional school facilities within the city, notably at the high school level. You know, note that, you know, if the Christina District's boundaries are changed, the city students in grades 9 through 12 who live in the Christina area of the city would no longer be assigned to Newark, Glasgow, and Christiana high schools, but they'd have to go to school somewhere. And the only high school building in the city under Red Clay's jurisdiction is used by the Charter School of Wilmington and the Cab Calloway School of the Arts, a magnet program. So there's no traditional public high school operating within the city limits, and there hasn't been for more than 20 years. Also, among the consortium's responsibilities is an examination of the viability of what's known as the Newcastle County Tax District. This is a little understood system that was set up in the desegregation era to try to balance the allocation of property tax receipts. Essentially, it was taking some of the revenue that would have normally stayed in the Brandywine and Red Clay districts and sent it over to Colonial and Christiana, which have slightly lower property valuations. It's not clear how that discussion might play out, especially since we've already got a lawsuit in progress that challenges the three counties' outdated property tax assessments and the state's overall school funding system.
One thing we haven't talked a lot about is exactly what is the makeup of this group? Who's on it?
Well, when you look at this group of 24 members, you will see, you know, pretty much all the usual suspects. You know, you've got a collection of educators, politicians, business people, leaders of civic organizations. So in that respect, it seems pretty much the same as WEAC and WEIC. But I do see a couple of key differences here, differences that couldn't mean something in terms of accountability. This time, the school district representation is going to come from superintendents rather than board members. And in settings like this, I think superintendents are going to carry a little bit more weight. You know, and there are also four legislators, just two from the House, two from the Senate, two of them from each party, plus a retired legislator, James J. Johnson, who's going to serve as the consortium's co-chair with Tizzy Lockman. If these legislators do their jobs well, they're not going to go back to their colleagues in legislative hall with proposals that are destined to die. On top of that, the consortium has three non-voting members who are pretty important here: the Secretary of Education, the Secretary of Finance, and the Director of the state's Office of Management and Budget. What you have here is the key people determining the state's educational policy and holding the budget purse strings being plugged into the process. And that means that nobody's going to be able to say later on that they were taken by surprise by anything that the consortium comes up with.
Is this group tied to any timetable as some of the previous groups were? Does it have any benchmarks or deadlines that it's supposed to meet?
Yes and no. The consortium itself does not have an expiration date. Under law, it continues operating until the governor and the General Assembly decide that its mission has been fulfilled. But the separate school district reorganization law that passed at the same time states that any recommendations for redistricting must be reviewed and acted upon by the State Board of Education in early 2021, between January 1st and April 1st of that year. And any plan that the State Board and eventually the General Assembly would approve would have to take effect no earlier than July 1st of 2023 and no later than July 1st of 2025.
Which brings us, I guess, to the million-dollar question here, and that is there any reason to think this group can move the needle any more than the previous groups have?
Chances are we're looking at something that's going to be much more than just a million-dollar question. But, you know, I've seen so much in the way of incremental change over the years. You know, and my guess here is that the consortium is going to move the ball a little bit further down the field, and it's going to record a couple of first downs this time, but, you know, maybe not that game-changing touchdown that they're going to be seeking. My crystal ball says that there will be redistricting, at least taking the Christina district out of Wilmington. And we may see Red Clay and perhaps Red Clay and Brandywine assuming responsibility for authorizing charter schools in the city. And those changes could lead to building a new high school in Wilmington. Going beyond that, however, I won't be surprised if the consortium says it's necessary to spend more money to ensure educational equity for underserved students. But I'd also be a lot more surprised to see the General Assembly and the governor give a green light to any sort of significant spending increases.
Larry, appreciate the reporting. We appreciate the insight. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're quite welcome.